Hi, and welcome to Law for Community Workers On The Go. This is a series of podcasts brought to you by Legal Aid New South Wales. In each episode, one of us from the Community Legal Education branch will be chatting to experts on different legal topics. We're really excited to have you all listening today, and we hope that you'll learn something new and interesting.
Please note, since recording this episode, there have been some changes in the institutions around the NDIS and the complaint pathways. These changes have been added in as an addendum and can be heard at the end of this podcast. Thanks very much.
Today, we're talking about the NDIS and specifically your rights as consumers under the NDIS. And my name's Natalie. I'm from the Community Legal Education team here at Legal Aid New South Wales. And I'm talking today with Emma Bedwin, who's from New South Wales Fair Trading, and also with Tammy Sokol, who is the Systemic Issues Solicitor in the Consumer Law team here at Legal Aid New South Wales. So welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Natalie.
And before we start, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are on today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to any Indigenous people joining us today. So I'm really happy that you could come in, Emma, from Fair Trading. It's really great to have guest speakers with our legal aid solicitors, so thanks for that.
Cheers.
And I want to start today by asking both of you what you love about the work you do.
I think from my perspective, we get to talk to so many people and hear so many stories because we do a face-to-face education campaign that means that we go out into communities across New South Wales, sit down and share stories, share what we've learnt and hear what other people have to share and then move that on to the next community. And in doing that, our whole community gets to understand their rights and how they can protect both themselves and their communities.
Great. And it's Tammy here. I think what I enjoy about being a consumer lawyer is really being able to help vulnerable consumers feel empowered to advocate on their own behalf. And we're often in these situations, they feel really voiceless and disempowered because of the power imbalances that exist between the sort of consumer and provider relationship. So that's really something that I really enjoy.
Great. And so what we're talking about today is something that's fairly new. It's the Australian consumer law isn't new, but the way that it applies to people in the disability sector is new. So can you please explain what exactly this new area is about?
I think that since the NDIS has come into being and started to roll out across Australia, what the biggest change is that now contracts are between an individual and a service provider, where in the past that contract was between the disability service provider and the government, and therefore the individual was not considered a consumer under Australian consumer law.
Thanks.
Yeah, this really has been quite a big shift. It sounds like something quite trivial almost, but it really does make a huge difference to the rights that are available for consumers and the responsibilities on service providers to be able to assist vulnerable consumers to understand and support them in the services that they're providing and purchasing.
And we were chatting before about, I guess, the main aim of this podcast is to let community workers and disability support workers tell the people that they work with that they have rights and that there are things they can do about their consumer law rights. Would that be
Absolutely.
A good summary of what we're trying to say?
I think so. And I think it's been the biggest change because people haven't had these rights before. Yeah. They've had these rights in other parts of their lives, but they haven't applied in the disability sector. So you can't use rights if you don't know about them.
Yeah. So we've been mentioning this consumer rights or consumer law. So Tammy, do you want to explain a little bit about what exactly is consumer law?
Sure. The Australian consumer law is a national piece of legislation that sets out some rights and remedies for consumers. It recognises, I guess, that there is a power imbalance when entering into contracts for the purchase of goods and services. And so it sets up a scheme whereby consumers can rely on certain rights and then the remedies that flow from that and the legal options that they have.
And what's an example of one of those rights?
Yeah, so there are a number of rights that are set out in the Australian consumer law. Some of the more familiar ones are in relation to misleading and deceptive conduct you might be familiar with, but also in relation to unfair contract terms. There are certain rights in relation to unsolicited or door-to-door type sales, as well as probably most relevant for the NDIS is a whole list of consumer guarantees that apply to the purchase of goods and services, and what consumers can rely upon where they feel like a product or a service hasn't met their expectations. And that might be expectations around quality, around a service being provided with due care and skill, or that the service or product is not fit for purpose. And they now have rights and remedies where it comes to those issues as they apply to the disability services that they're entering into agreements.
Yeah. And people are probably quite familiar with these rights around products. So if a product we were mentioning before around it, like a hearing aid is not working.
Yeah, hearing aid or a wheelchair isn't quite doing what it's meant to be doing. I think a lot of people would understand intuitively that something's not right and do something about it. The more challenging and more nuanced issues are in relation to the provision of services, which is a substantial part of the services that are provided under the NDIS. And in all these services, there are those guarantees that consumers can rely upon.
And we often simplify that conversation to say, lots of us have had an experience of hiring someone to perform a service or have seen someone else do it. So if you've never hired a cleaner for yourself, you might have seen someone else enter into a contract to hire a cleaning service. Now, it's the same for hiring any of your other disability services. If you hire a cleaner and you say, I want you to clean the 3 bedrooms, the kitchen and the bathroom, you expect that to be done with due care and skill. If the cleaner leaves and they've left the bathroom and the kitchen untouched, you have the right then to say, well, you haven't completed the job and I'd like to discuss this as I don't think that you have done the right sort of job. And that way that starts a conversation where you've told them what the problem is and what you want them to do. You want them to come back and you want them to clean the remaining.
Yeah. And the preventative step, I guess, the learning from that is that if you only entered into an agreement with a cleaning service that says clean my house and not necessarily that specified the rooms and the actual types of cleaning that you expect, it is much more difficult if you're unhappy with that service to be able to take matters into your own hands and try to resolve the matter after the fact.
And you had an example of someone who had a contract that just said to provide services for 3 hours a week.
That's right. Yeah, a case example where the contract simply said that they were to be provided with certain therapeutic services 3 hours a week. And the understanding, the verbal agreement that had come to between the participant and the service provider was that that was going to take place 3 times a week for 1 hour. That detail wasn't included in the substance of the written contract. And then later down the track, a month or so later, when the service provider decided to only attend once a week for 3 hours, although they were strictly abiding by the terms of the written agreement, it wasn't in accordance with the additional verbal agreement that the participant believed they were subject to.
And for that participant's personal circumstance, he really did require the 3 times a week.
Yeah, he did require it 3 times a week. And there was an argument that the service, by providing it only once a week for 3 hours, was actually not fit for purpose.
And that's the consumer guarantee.
That is what, yeah, part. That's one of the consumer guarantees I mentioned earlier.
Great. So that would be an example of someone who could come to legal aid and say, this is my situation, is there anything I can do about it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if there are a number of different pathways if someone's unhappy about the service that they've been provided with. The first step we usually recommend, depending on the capacity of the individual, is to approach the business directly in the first instance to try and resolve it and to protect the relationship. Often, like when lawyers get involved, a service provider might start behaving a bit defensively. And so where possible, we try to have the matter resolved without aggravating the situation. But obviously at any point a participant can come to Legal Aid, can get advice on what rights and remedies they have and steps to take that they might want to take, or depending on the eligibility of the client, we might assist them to take.
I'm just going to bring it back a bit. We've talked about contracts and agreements, and we've heard of like a written contract with some verbal elements to it. So I'm just going to ask you, Emma, or both of you, if people are participating in the NDIS, if they're asked to sign a contract or enter into an agreement with a service provider, what are some tips you could give that person?
I think the first thing is to be aware that you can enter a contract in many ways. You can do that verbally, you can do that in writing, you can do that by clicking on the link on the internet or answering yes over the phone. All of those are contracts, and service agreements are a contract when you think of them like that. This seems to be new in the disability sector, that there's a little bit of misunderstanding that a service agreement is not a contract, and it's really important to understand that a contract is an agreement between two people, with one going to provide a service or a product and one person going to pay for it. When you think of a service agreement like that, then it's really important that you think about, what is it that you want to buy? If you're entering into a contract, what are you buying? What good or what service? Are you buying a wheelchair? Are you buying a cleaning service? Are you hiring someone to provide personal care? Is it important when you're thinking about that personal care that person be of Aboriginal background, for example, because you want someone with cultural competencies? Is it important that you're hiring someone to provide personal care to your daughter? You want that person to be female. If you're thinking about those things in your contracts, it's important to write them down, because as Tammy said, if it's not written down, it's very hard to say, well, that's not what I wanted. Similarly, it's really important that you stop and think before you enter a contract. So you don't have to sign it on the spot. You can stop, take it away. So get everything in writing where you can. Then sit down and think about it. Take it away, get legal advice or someone that you trust. Sit down, look at it. Does it have what I want?
So even if people want the service to start immediately or the next day, it's still important not to be rushed into.
And maybe signing. You can negotiate an interim agreement. So you haven't entered a 6-month or 12-month contract. Maybe you think about, for the next month, while I make my decision, I'll have an interim agreement that says, this is what I'm paying for and this is what I'm receiving. And then you could enter into a longer term contract. I think that sort of thing means that people can do the thinking without being pressured into signing up straight away, while still receiving the services that they need to live an ordinary life.
Right. Tammy, did you want to add anything about signing contracts or agreements?
Yeah, I mean, just as Emma said, it's about being aware that you want to try and get those contracts as specific as possible, and making sure that important things like about cancellation, most service providers will have terms in there about how long you need to give notice before cancelling. Not all of them will have terms in there that explain the circumstances in which they can terminate the services. And so you will find that, you know, we've had a number of people come to us disappointed where their service provider has cancelled services at short notice in circumstances they don't agree with. But actually, all that was provided for in the service agreement was the notice that they were required to give. And at the time, the participant didn't anticipate that the service provider might be the one to cancel the service. So all of those things need to be thought about ahead of time. And I think as the NDIS rolls out, people start becoming more familiar about these agreements. It will happen over time, but as much as possible, people need to start thinking about that now.
And one other thing we've had questions around is contracts in easy English, so with pictures and simple words. But what's the fair trading sort of view on those contracts at the moment?
I don't know that it's a fair trading view. Okay. It's more something to be aware of, is that often easy read or easy English can take away the detail of a contract. So it's more making sure that the details of a contract are there, so that if you want to make a complaint or you're not happy with the service, you can say, but I told you that I wanted my support worker to be of Aboriginal background,
mm-hmm.
and it's written down somewhere. That was an example. Yeah, but it's really important that both parties have seen and agreed to both sides.
Great. That makes sense.
So you can do that in Easy Read, or you could do that in plain English.
Mm-hmm.
We've been looking at how do you do that in plain and simple terms so that people understand, and it's not so much how it's done, it's that a person understands what it is they've agreed to.
But there's enough detail in there.
If you don't have the details, then like Tammy was saying, 3 hours a week can look different to both sides. One person can see it as 3 visits a week. One person can see it as 1 visit for 3 hours. We've seen a lot of that around the transport and travel arrangements especially. So, yeah, if you want something enough that you think it's important, write it down.
So what's some main tips, I guess, you'd give community workers or support workers around this area? So understanding rights, entering into contracts. What are the main things people can do?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've seen from the community workers that we've spoken with is that a client will come to them and complain about something. But without the community worker or the client's understanding that these are actually consumer law issues and without being able to identify them, so they can't really take the next steps.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we would like, I guess, out of the podcast and the other community education that we're doing is to be able to empower community workers where they hear those complaints to recognise them as consumer law issues and then be able to advise those clients to take the next steps or refer them on so that they can have that dealt with. And it's not just something they have to sit and complain and deal with, but actually something that they can action.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks, Tammy.
And knowing that there's free support to assist with that. That the website, Fair Trading's website, Legal Aid, we have resources to support people. So you can look it up. The checkout videos are excellent ways of understanding how Australian consumer law works in a really fun way. That's how I do a lot of our staff training. Yeah. A lot of our staff use the checkout as a good way of understanding this stuff. We take it out when we do community education because it's fun. But when you know your rights, you can use them. If you don't know them, you can't use them, but you also can't support someone else.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes we have people listening to the podcast who are from outside of New South Wales. So what can those people do to help?
So the NDIS hasn't completed its rollout across Australia, but it is a national scheme.
Yeah.
Australian Consumer Law is a national scheme. And so consumers who are participants on the NDIS will be able to access these remedies through the Australian Consumer Law. I guess that the tip is to really contact your local consumer protection agency, contact your local legal aid, and hopefully they'll be able to assist you further in dealing with these complaints.
One thing Fair Trading will ask is that if you are contacting on behalf of someone else, if you're contacting as a carer and advocate, please tell us so that we can help you get the right information. So we actually ask now if a person has a disability, and we also ask if a person is a carer and advocate, because we're trying very hard to make sure that if we're not the agency for you, that we get you through to the right place. Because we know it's hard to complain. We know it's hard when you don't quite know your rights. So it's really important that if you do ring us to ask for information, that we can get you to the right places.
We are going to put some contact details on the Podbean website, but I'll just give a couple of phone numbers in case people are listening in their cars or on the go. So New South Wales Fair Trading phone number is one place to contact, which is 13 32 20. And for legal aid, the best place to contact is Law Access New South Wales, and they can give you where your local civil law outreach or office is for legal advice. And Law Access New South Wales is 1300 888 529.
And just to reiterate, that both the Civil Law Advice Service and the assistance from Fair Trading are free.
That's excellent. Yeah. I'm just going to ask you to finish off quickly by saying, what's the main difference between Legal Aid New South Wales and New South Wales Fair Trading to help people in this consumer law space?
So Legal Aid New South Wales, we're lawyers, yep. So we do advocate on behalf of a consumer. We're very much in the corner of the consumer, and the legal systems are built that way. And so we're quite open about that. And so we wouldn't be able to act for a service provider.
Yep.
And we act exclusively for consumers.
Thanks, Tammy. And
whereas with Fair Trading, it's an impartial service between consumer and trader, where you can ring for information and advice, but also to make a complaint. And the way we mediate a complaint is we hear both sides, mm-hmm. and try to seek, getting this wrong, to try to have a conversation between both parties to see if they can resolve it.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much. I think that was really informative, and I know that I learned a lot. And we'll also have contact details on our podcast site. And thank you so much for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you in our next podcast.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
As we mentioned earlier, there have been some changes recently. So here's Tammy to explain those changes to you.
Just to give you a short overview, since the 1st of July 2018, the NDIS Quality and Safeguards Commission established itself for complaints and operation across New South Wales. The Commission has both a complaints and a regulatory function, which addresses issues of quality and safety in the provision of disability services in the NDIS. This replaces the function of the New South Wales Ombudsman, which held a transition role in fielding complaints up until this time. So the process now, if your client is unhappy with their service provider, in first instance, the client, if they're comfortable to do so, should make a complaint with the service provider themselves and try and resolve the dispute. If they're unsuccessful or too uncomfortable to complain to the service provider, at that point, it might be appropriate to approach the new NDIS Quality and Safeguards Commission. Depending on the nature of the complaint and the complexity of the issues raised, the Commission will determine whether they will conciliate or investigate the complaint further. Don't forget the Australian Consumer Law still applies to the provision of goods and services contracts between service providers and NDIS participants. If the alternative dispute resolution process is unsuccessful, or you're approaching a time limit at the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal, the client may have remedies under the Australian Consumer Law and may prefer to go to the tribunal. There are a couple of things that have not changed since the 1st of July 2018. If your client is unhappy about a decision about their NDIS plan or the conduct of the agency itself, those complaints should still be directed to the Commonwealth Ombudsman, and appeals about decisions made by the agency can be made to the AAT. Also, the Office of Fair Trading continues to accept complaints in relation to goods and services provided under NDIS plans.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you're enjoying Law for Community Workers on the Go, make sure to spread the word. And if you have any feedback or even topic suggestions, please get in touch with us via email. Our address is cle@legalaid.newsouthwales.gov.au. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time, thanks again from the CLE branch here at Legal Aid New South Wales.